on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Now we're going to take some time to visit with Adam Holtz. He's the editor of Plugged In, a longtime director and now editor, I should say, of Plugged In from Focus on the Family, their entertainment technology review website. He's the host of the weekly podcast, The Plugged In Show, where the Plugged In team actually talks to parents about navigating the intersection of media and screen use from a biblical worldview perspective. Love that. Adam and his wife, Jennifer, have three teens and a feisty dog, and they live in Colorado Springs, Colorado. In their free time, the Holtzes enjoy swimming, basketball, electric guitar, and, of course, watching movies. And I share some of that with you, Adam. Was a AAU swimmer, junior Olympic guy back in the day. And as big as I am now, I still swim like a fish.
That's awesome. Well, my family, they are all swimmers. I swim, but I never swam competitively. So they all can lap me like, you know, nobody's
okay,
business.
So your swimming is like my golf. When I tell someone I was out at a golf course, oh, you're a golfer, I say, I go.
Right. I know that it involves trying to whack a ball and not trying to dig a hole.
No, for me, it's the birds, the bunnies, the bees, the grass, and the company. Forget the score.
Yeah.
But what some people aren't forgetting this time of year, a lot of folks are taking fasts.
Yep.
Whether it's from a certain diet or from I don't know, from driving or Adam, how about a fast from all things electronic, unplugging and getting away from those screens.
That's right.
That's a thing. And actually starting today is National Unplugging Day.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a new thing. I actually don't know who started this, but there's a growing awareness, I think, in our culture that, you know, unlimited, unbounded screen time is unhealthy on all kinds of levels. And we're especially seeing, I think, an emerging consensus among social scientists that social media especially can have really negative effects, particularly on adolescents. And, you know, we don't need to clutch our pearls and have a moral panic over it. But I think we're wise to understand the potential implications of too much screen time. And that's why we've got this thing, National Unplugging Day, and we're piggybacking on that at Plugged In. And we have what we're calling the 2025 Screen Fast. And if you go to PluggedIn.com, and of course, we're a part of Focus on the Family, you can scroll down just a little bit and you'll see a link there, an advertisement that'll take you to a place where you can sign up for that. And if you do sign up, you'll get 8 days of activities and devotions, hopefully to be a catalyst to enable you and your family to cut back on screen time, whether you fast from it completely or partially. You know, our hope is that this is an inflection point for your family to make some really positive changes in that area.
Now, Adam, is this new to Plugged In, or is this something Plugged In's done in the past?
No, this is new. This is the first year that we have done it. And interestingly, our current director, Paul Acey, wrote a blog this week. If you go to pluggedin.com/blog, you'll find it. He talked about unplugging for a week before this thing starts and just some of the surprising ways it was more difficult than he anticipated. And again, the goal here is not to be draconian or totalitarian about it, but just to recognize that most of us, unless you're really disciplined or hate technology, probably would say, yeah, we're on our screens too much. And what happens when we buy some of that time back? And this is an opportunity, I think, to be really intentional as families and to do that. And we also know that, as the old saying goes, nature abhors a vacuum. So we tried to give you some activities that you can do as a family to fill that space too.
Right. And by the way, if you missed it, it's pluggedin.com. And as Adam said, /blog to read the blog you mentioned. You can also go to the website right on the top of the page, top right. Just click on blog and get there as well. Now, before we talk about some of the benefits of unplugging, let's talk about the range of what people might consider. Because the first thing I think, I mean, Adam, I mean, right now, you and I
Right.
We're connected. You know, you're in California, I believe, right?
That's correct. Yep.
And you know, we're connected via MS Teams, similar to Zoom. So we're in the we're right in front of our screens. Yeah. However, and that's kind of what I want to address. You and I are both in media, and it's awfully hard to. But you know, there's someone like ourselves who may not be able to completely. Unless, you know, we want to impact our jobs. Even cutting back, you know, think of the areas you can cut back in that you know you do on a daily basis that's not really a need. This is something to consider, yes?
That's right. Yeah, and we're certainly not trying to get anybody fired. And we recognize that many, many, many people rely on desktops, laptops, tablets, phones, just to do your job. So we're really talking about a screen fast when it comes to discretionary time. And I liken the way we sometimes relate to our phones as spilling a glass of water or milk or whatever on your kitchen table when your kids have been doing homework and the kitchen table, the dining room table is covered with stuff. We have a dining room table. We never actually eat there because it's like everybody's workstation, right? And when you spill a glass of liquid, it fills in all of the cracks, right? Well, that's the way I think for some of us. Again, maybe you're more disciplined than I am, but a lot of us, you know, that phone becomes what we reach for every time our brain is not actively involved with something else. And so I think that this week potentially is just a chance to get sensitized to that reality, right? That it's like, oh man, this has just become reflexive. And I should say too, it's reflexive for a reason. It's not just that you have poor self-control or bad habits, although with some of us, both of those things may be true, but our brains really become conditioned to wanting those screens. And we get a little hit of a chemical in our brain, a neurotransmitter called dopamine. Every time we look at something we like on a screen, our brain says, oh, I like that. I would like more of that. But too much dopamine, you need more and more to get the same effect, right? That's sort of the nature of addiction. And so if you begin to cut back, and Paul writes about this, it's going to feel uncomfortable, right? Because we're trying to now say no to something that we have habituated ourselves to. But over time, I think that you'll find your brain is actually more relaxed and you got time to read. You've got time to actually have a conversation and not be distracted. Maybe you've got time to cook. So our hope is that this activity, whether you go whole hog or, you know, just kind of tiptoe into the water, can be something that really helps your family in that area.
Yeah, you know, I want to revisit something you said earlier for those who may have missed it. At PluggedIn.com, you'll find a screen fast survival guide, and you can register and get 8 devotionals that can be done by the family, which essentially you were trying to fill that vacuum, as you mentioned.
Right.
You know, the one thing I wanted to mention about that, wouldn't it be great if after the fast, or maybe during the fast, you know, families that are going through these devotionals together or other activities are like, how great is this?
Right.
How much better than you sitting on the other side of the table looking at your phone while I sit over here and look at my phone? We're engaged and our relationship is growing. Some healthy and, you know, I know this is only a week, you know, the 7th through the 14th. What is it? 21, 22 days does a habit make?
Right. Exactly.
You know, maybe purpose to press on, even if you go back to the screens, in some areas, but to, put some of these family activities, in your regular schedule and, you know, see how, you know, gosh, if it could become permanent, but, just what a difference that might make.
That's exactly right. And I have a good friend. He and his family do what they call tech-free Tuesdays. And so on Tuesday nights, everybody gets home, they, you know, finish up their last things they have to do on screens, and they put their phones away for the whole evening. And he said, at first, my kids absolutely hated it. And if you have adolescents and you haven't sort of prepped them for this, you're going to get some pushback, right? You're going to get eye rolls. You're going to get, dad, come on. You know, that is a natural part of it. And if they're not prepped, you know, I think that you also want to be not just sort of creating rebellion. So maybe ease into it a little bit. But he said a curious thing happened, and it's exactly what you just described, Steve. He said it took a couple of weeks of doing it, but it became our kids' favorite night of the week because they knew that we were going to be relational, that we had fun together, and they really began to look forward to it because they did, you know, have that experience of remembering how great it was to just interact. And there are a number of tech-free camps that kids can go to as well, and there are similar reports out of those that when kids are phone-free for a week, they end that week in a happier, emotionally healthier place.
Well, let me see if any wisdom has come in as the gray hair has arrived. and let me speak to talking to your children about that and, you know, hopefully avoiding some of that pushback. You know, some of it is how you communicate with them.
Absolutely.
About the desire to do it. You know, it's one thing to go, hey, here's, look, we're going to do this Tuesdays. Right. How does that sound as opposed to, hey, you know what? I was thinking maybe just one night a week, maybe Tuesday night seems like a good night. Listen, because really the best part of my day is when I'm face to face with you and we're engaged and I get to hear about your day and we get to share. I need to tell you, I love you. And it's a joy to me. And if you would consider, it's almost like asking a girl out on a date, you know?
Yeah.
but really just to communicate your real feelings about, you know, why you'd like to do it. And, you know, maybe pray about whether or not you make it mandatory or you try to be the salesperson and close them on it where they see the value in it and they see that it's something that's important to you. And they love you. So it might be a better route to go where you're not maybe getting young people bucking against the goads.
No, that's exactly right. And here's the other thing I would suggest that runs totally parallel to that. I think the older your teens are, the harder the hard boundary approach is going to be, right? If you just impose this, you're going to get pushback and you're probably going to get secret rebellion, whether you're aware of it or not, right? I don't think that we want to create a family culture in which our kids are trying to cheat at our rules. And one of the things that I've done with our kids, and my teens are 14, 16, and 18, is they're all at a point and they're mature, they're smart, where my approach has been, hey, you know, it feels like we are on screens maybe too much. What if we as a family really spent some time talking about how we can do things differently? And so then you are inviting them into that conversation and giving them agency. You know, that's the buzzword these days, agency. and, you know, yeah, it's not my job to be my kid's friend. I know that there's lots of, you know, just be a parent already, say what we're doing. But man, I think by the time they're teenagers, what we want to be in is the mode of coaching them and helping them to think critically about their decisions. And, you know, one of the questions I've asked is, man, if we got off phones, what could we devote more of our time to, right? I think that has been well received. And I will also say, in the spirit of full disclosure, man, we all drift out of alignment on this issue, right? It's like budgeting. It's like dieting. I can do well for a while. I can save some money. I can lose some weight. And then I go on a binge, right? and so it's okay to recognize the reality that even if we make some lasting changes, we may drift out of whack. And the last time I had this conversation, my 14-year-old said, you know, Dad, we just had this conversation like 6 weeks ago. Do you remember? I'm like, oh yeah. Well, we didn't execute very well. So let's try again, right? I think the gospel invites us to try again. And it's not just try harder, although sometimes we need to try harder too. The gospel message is here. there's an invitation to life. And I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but I don't want to under-spiritualize it either, because, you know, Jesus said in John 10, the enemy comes to steal, this thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And Jesus promises to fill us, and there are lots of substitutes in the world that make us want to believe that they're going to fill us, but they don't. And so it really is about seeking that which is going to fill us in the way that God designed and intended, and that's in relationship with Him.
I love that. Hey, I want to connect some of what you said with a recent conversation we had with Dr. Joni DeBrito from Focus on the Family on revisiting those New Year's resolutions and finding practical ways and realistic goals. You know, you may give some of this a try. And like you said, you know, we said we were gonna and we didn't. Well, revisit it. And, you know, what did you purpose to do then? Maybe set a different goal that, just take the one step. So, and if you missed that, by the way, that's archived at abqconnect.online, our conversation with Joni DeBrito. But I love that, Adam. The other thing that occurred to me when I mentioned talking to the kids and considering making it an option, if they're really not interested in, explain to them how important it is to you and how much you love time with them. If it is kind of one of those pick your battles, say, hey, I hear you. And right now you're not interested. I want to let you know, during this week or whatever, time, I'm going to go ahead and do it and I'll be here.
Right.
And find something else for you to do, but let them know that if they change their mind, and you know, there's mom or dad, you know, they're doing it without me.
Right.
But you know, I think of the illustration that creates with our relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
And how often we neglect Him.
Yeah.
And He, you know, the truth is He's just there. Jesus is always there, ready to have a conversation with you. And when you show up, He's not bitter about where you've been. He just loves that you're there.
No, that's exactly right. And I think depending on your level of discipline as a parent, your kids are going to do whatever they see you doing, right? And if we have a screen problem in our family, before we come dropping the hammer on our kids, we need to take a look in the mirror. And
yeah,
I think doing exactly what you're saying, even apart from a formal screen fast, I think if you change your habits quietly and don't even announce it, and you make some real changes, over time, your kids are going to notice. And if you do that for a couple of months, then you have the moral authority to say, hey, you guys might have noticed I've been making some changes, and here are some of the benefits that I'm really reaping. I would love to, you know, influence our family and our family culture into making those changes, you know, as well.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, it's not, you know, you don't get accused of being a hypocrite, right? Because sometimes when I start talking about screens, my daughters especially are like, well, you're the chief among sinners here, Dad. So, and frankly, I probably am. You know, and I think that's the other thing, is it's easy to pick on somebody else's screen time habits. It's easy for me to say, how can you spend an hour watching TikTok videos? That's dumb. But they can look at me and say, you know, how many NFL mock draft articles have you read today? Do you think 25 is enough? It's not even real, right? So we tend to dismiss whatever our habits are, and we tend to always be critical of others. But man, we all interact with this thing in different ways. And I think that there's a lot of room for grace there. But also the truth part is, it's just time down the drain. And for the most part, so much of what we do online is not particularly redemptive at all. It's just like eating cotton candy. It tastes good in the moment. But like your mom said, it has no nutritional value, and if you eat enough of it, you're going to get sick. So
as
parents, we have to establish those boundaries, and we have to work on our discipline too.
Well, and again, I'm going to go back to what you said. I've got another illustration that, you know, you just practice doing it correctly. Listen, the kids are watching.
They are.
And if you want to see an illustration of that, go on to, you know, whatever video, YouTube or whatever, and do a search for Tiger Woods and his son side by side golf strokes. And I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Wow.
The first time I ever saw it, it was like, oh my goodness. Boy, are they
watching. A mirror
it image? Is like a mirror image.
Yep.
Great illustration. You can go do that after the fast.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're doing the screen fast, but let me throw this out to you for parting thoughts on families, and we talked about some of the benefits, but if you want to kind of recap some of that and encourage our families to prayerfully consider their part in the screen fast, which is a National Unplugging Day that starts today, March 7th.
Yep. You know, I think the biggest benefit is it just gives our brain space to relax. Our minds were not meant to process screen-based imagery 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day. They just weren't. And I think that one of the casualties of that is deep reflective thinking and just being relaxed, right? When your brain is constantly having that dopamine released, you're exhausted at the end of the day, but you feel like, how can I be so tired? I didn't really do anything. Well, your brain has just been cranking, responding to all of those images. And so I think, you'll find yourself more relaxed. You'll find yourself not just as agitated and, you know, wanting to pick up the first screen you see or the remote control on the TV. And I think that that naturally leads to the opportunity for deeper relationships and really learning or relearning how to be present with each other. And again, I don't do this perfectly. My family certainly doesn't do it perfectly. So there's the ideal. And then there's the reality that most of us live in the mess somewhere, right? It is okay to admit that you're living in a mess. But what does it look like to orient ourselves toward God and towards each other with regard to technology in a way that makes a difference? And we may be tempted to shrug our shoulders and say, it's just the way it is. But I would encourage you to lean in here. And really to say this is an opportunity to hit the reset button and to begin to integrate some new habits into your family that I think will pay huge dividends in terms of mental health, in terms of your sense of peace, and your relationships with each other.
Very good. Well, a reminder to go to pluggedin.com. You can scroll down and click on the Join the Movement for the Screen Fast 2025 and go check out the blog that Adam mentioned as well. You can do that at pluggedin.com/blog or simply from the homepage on the top right, click on blog, and you'll find your way there. Adam, appreciate your time and always enjoy our conversations. Look forward to catching up again.
We'll do it again sometime soon, Steve. Thank you.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ.